This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. Sorry about that. I was just interviewing Idaho Power, so I almost called the show the wrong name. In other news, you know, gun sales, we know, have skyrocketed in the last month in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. Well, get this. The National Rifle Association, though, is laying off staff. As Guns in America's Heath Drewson reports, major missteps in recent years left the NRA vulnerable.
And most importantly, I want to thank all of you, the proud card-carrying members of the NRA.
That's President Donald Trump at the NRA's annual convention last year in Indianapolis. This month, thousands of gun enthusiasts were slated to gather in Nashville for the 2020 convention, but that plan fell victim to coronavirus. The convention is a time for camaraderie for gun rights activists from across the country. And, more importantly,
the convention is a source of millions of dollars in funds. It also lays the groundwork for millions more to come to the organization.
That's Frank Smythe, a veteran journalist who just published the book The NRA, The Unauthorized History. Less than 2 weeks after canceling the convention, the NRA said it would be laying people off. Politico reported that 60 staffers were let go. But that was just the beginning. Soon after, the NRA furloughed all workers who can't work because of cancellations, facility closures, or other disruptions.
The combination of having overspent in the past, as well as declining revenues now with the cancellation of their meeting, means that they just simply don't have the revenues, and that's led them to lay off a number of people.
The group's financial troubles has fueled many NRA critics.
I want success for the NRA.
Jeff Knox is a prominent member of the NRA and a critic of its spending. He's had high-profile disagreements with NRA leadership and now runs a separate gun rights group called the Firearms Coalition. Knox says the NRA put itself in a precarious financial position long before the pandemic.
The policies and practices of NRA financially for over 20 years now have been not what your accountant would call best practices.
Last year, The New Yorker and The Trace revealed financial excess and potential self-dealing at the NRA. Subsequent reporting revealed NRA CEO Wayne LaPierre's lavish lifestyle. LaPierre, who earns $2 million per year, had six-figure spending sprees on clothing and extravagant travel. Italy, Hungary, the Bahamas, all this as the head of a nonprofit. The organization also spent millions to start NRA TV. Shows sometimes veered into culture war issues that had nothing to do with guns, like athletes kneeling during the national anthem.
To the role model athletes who use their free speech to alter and undermine what our flag represents.
Add in millions spent on the 2016 election and...
That all has created something of a perfect storm and put them in a very bad situation.
According to its latest tax form, even though the NRA brought in more than $300 million, it ended up nearly $18 million in the hole. And this was well before the pandemic. The NRA declined interview requests. Instead, it released a statement saying its leadership is, quote, deeply committed to the long-term viability of the NRA.
You have people struggling over the soul of what the NRA is.
That's David Yamani, a sociology professor at Wake Forest University and author of the blog Gun Culture 2.0. He says the spending scandals happened at the worst possible time.
People who were very large supporters of the NRA, large-scale donors who said, until the NRA gets its house in order, we are no longer going to be writing checks.
And another thing hanging over the NRA, an investigation by New York Attorney General Letitia James. She's looking into the group's spending, raising the specter of criminal charges. The D.C. Attorney General is pursuing a similar inquiry. Despite that, Jeff Knox thinks NRA Chief Executive Wayne LaPierre has enough loyalists around him to protect his job. But he also thinks James will release her findings when it can do maximum damage.
At which point, I think that the entire organization is at risk of collapsing.
That all might depend on what the attorneys general have found and when they let us know. For Guns and America, I'm Heath Drewson.
And Heath is on the line, joining us now to tell us more about this. Hey, Heath, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Gemma.
Hey, so we know a lot of businesses and nonprofits are being affected financially by COVID-19. I mean, this is, you know, an across the country issue, but what makes the NRA different?
Well, what's unique about the NRA is that they really put themselves in a precarious position going into this pandemic. Obviously, none of us, predicted this pandemic, 2 years ago. But the NRA really, they made a lot of mistakes. They spent a lot of money, even going back to 2016. They spent a ton of money, millions and millions on the election there. They certainly got a guy in the White House in Donald Trump who has seemed to have their back. But that really set them back as far as their funds. And so there was that. And as mentioned in the story, you know, they had this whole NRA TV thing, which was sort of a like a messaging arm of the NRA. And that all cost a lot of money. It put them into the red. It put them into the red for multiple years and tens of millions of dollars. And then this pandemic hit all of a sudden, and that canceled their convention, which is their biggest fundraising event of the year. And it all just kind of tacked on to they all tacked on to themselves and put them in big trouble.
Well, and then there's this whole backstory, right, of intrigue to these financial issues. I mean, really including a public civil war within the organization, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It really reads like a fictional drama. And it all went down in the public at their annual meeting last year. And again, the annual meeting, it's a time when they really rely on to raise millions of dollars. And their own president, Oliver North, you might remember him from Iran-Contra fame.
Oh, yeah.
And as a Fox News personality, his own colorful past, obviously. He was the president, Wayne LaPierre, the CEO, and Oliver North, the president of the group, he basically launched a coup. He tried to oust LaPierre with some of his own friends in the organization, and he lost. Wayne LaPierre won. But this all played out. It all played out in magazines like The New Yorker, and it played out on stage at the meeting. And this is when their big money donors are all paying attention. And it really rattled people because you basically had this fight that they would much prefer to be behind closed doors, if it happens at all, basically out in the open, ugly for everyone to see.
Okay, so then there's a twist in the story, right? Because the main character is a gun rights advocate, but this person has a long history within the NRA?
Yeah, so Jeff Knox is a fascinating character. He is a prominent NRA member, as he told me. It didn't make it into the story, but he signed up for his lifetime membership when he right when he was getting into the army, at age 18. So he's a lifetime member. Called an endowment member. He's a very active member that kind of rallies people to vote for changes in the charter at their conventions. And his dad is Neil Knox, was Neil Knox, pardon me, his late father. And him and another guy named Harlan Carter, they basically made the NRA what it is today in what's known as the Cincinnati Revolt of 1977. The short version being they launched their own coup then, basically overthrew most of the board and made the NRA this sort of self-defense and kind of more absolutist group that we know of it as today, as opposed to more focused on gun safety, which it was before.
So I think most people think of the NRA as a national group. I mean, it's called the National Rifle Association, but we also know, I mean, they've had quite an impact in Idaho over the years, but recently too.
That's right. Their national work is much louder. You kind of hear about it a lot more, but behind the scenes at the state level, they actually are pretty active and they're out there promoting and killing bills. And one example this year from Idaho was a bill that when it first came out, it had bipartisan support. It looked kind of like a slam dunk, and it was basically to make it easier for sexual assault victims to get restraining orders from their alleged perpetrators. Mm-hmm. And what happened was the NRA came in pretty quietly, and they said they were concerned about it, even though the attorney general had said, this has nothing to do with firearms rights. It kind of gave it the non-firearms controversy blessing. The NRA, that wasn't enough for them. They came in and they put pressure on lawmakers and it worked. The bill was killed. And even a Republican lawmaker who said he supported it just said it didn't have enough of a chance.
So are there things that we should be paying attention to as this story moves forward?
Yeah. As noted in the story, There's a big cloud hanging over the NRA, and that's coming from the New York Attorney General and also from the DC Attorney General. Similar investigations, and these investigations have the potential of criminal charges. So we're talking about the NRA being in financial peril, but what's interesting is actually the source who is sort of most concerned about the future of the NRA was Jeff Knox, the gun rights advocate, who said he thinks there's a very real chance that some in NRA leadership are going to face a criminal inquiry, potential jail time for misspending. So we got to look at these inquiries from the AGs, the attorney generals, and what they find, and that's going to just be a whole nother headache for the NRA.
Well, I want to thank you for coming in today. Always good to talk to you, Heath.
Great talking to you, Gemma.
We've been talking with Guns in America reporter Heath Drusen, who is based in our newsroom. Up next, finding community in radio during a crisis. This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette.